Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a call and response riff with Breakbeat Surgery in Ableton Live 12, and we're doing it in a way that feels alive, musical, and seriously drum and bass. The goal here is not just to chop up a break and hope it sounds cool. We want the drums and bass to actually talk to each other. The breakbeat makes the call and the bass answers. That conversation is a huge part of jungle, DNB, and rolling bass music, and once you start thinking that way, your loops get way more interesting. We're aiming for 2-bar or 4-bar phrase that has energy, bounce, and shape. Think classic Amen style motion, but with a modern Ableton workflow and enough control to make it your own. First, open Ableton Live 12 and set your tempo somewhere around 170 to 174 BPM. If you want a slightly more rolling feel, 172 BPM is a great starting point. If you want it a little more jungle leaning, drop closer to 168 or 170. Then create a new track and load in a breakbeat sample. An Amen break is perfect, but any gritty vintage break will work. You want something with clear transients, ghost notes, and enough personality to chop into useful pieces. If the break is too clean, that's fine. We can add grit later. Right now, we're focused on the structure. The fastest way to work is to right-click the audio and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. In the dialog, slice by transient, and let Live build a drum rock for you. That gives you instant access to each hit, which is exactly what we need for this kind of phrase writing. You can also do it manually in arrangement view, but for this lesson, slicing to MIDI keeps things fast and flexible. Once the slices are in the drum rack, take a second and get organized. Identify your core hits: kick, snare, ghost snare, hats, percussion, maybe a reverse tail or a fill slice. This matters more than people think. A strong call and response phrase depends on knowing which sounds are the anchors and which ones are just seasoning. A good trick is to think of your rack in groups. Core hits are your kick, snare, and main hats. Decorative hits are your ghost notes and little shuffles. Transition hits are your reverses, fills, and lead-ins. That mental map makes it way easier to perform and edit the phrase like a drummer would. Now let's build the call. The call is the part that asks the question. In DNB, that usually means something percussive, rhythmic, and slightly tense. It could be a chopped break fill, a snare pickup, a few ghost notes, or a short burst of hats before the downbeat. Start with a 1-bar idea using only a few slices. Keep it tight. For example, you might place a kick on beat 1, a ghost snare around 1.3, a main snare on 2, a hat or percussion hit near 2.4, another kick around 3.3, and then a snare pickup or fill slice near beat 4. The exact pattern can vary, but the important thing is the shape. You want motion and anticipation, not constant clutter. This is a great place to use velocity as an arrangement tool. Make the main snare hit harder. Keep the ghost notes softer. Vary the hats a little. That human touch makes the break feel much more musical and less like a rigid chop job. Now the response. This is where the riff becomes memorable. The bass or synth comes in and answers the drum phrase. It should feel like a reply, not a copy. Create a new MIDI track and load something like Operator, Waveatable, or Analog. For a dark DNB response, a mono bass patch with a saw and a little sub underneath works really well. Keep the envelope short and punchy. Fast attack, short decay, low sustain, and a quick release. You want it to hit, speak, and get out. A really useful approach is to place the bass stab just after the busiest part of the drum call. Maybe it lands on the offbeat after the snare, or on the last eighth of the bar, or right after a little break fragment. That spacing is what makes the phrase breathe. The drums speak first, then the bass answers. And that handoff moment is key. If everything happens at once, the groove gets muddy. If the response starts just after the call ends, the whole thing feels intentional and powerful. That's the trick. Now let's make it feel like an actual conversation. If the break is busy, keep the bass response short. If the bass is heavy, simplify the drum call. If the snare fill is active, reduce the number of bass notes. The contrast is what makes the idea readable. A simple rule that works every time: make the call rhythmic and percussive, and make the response tonal and weighty. That contrast gives the listener a clear sense of question and answer. At this point, start doing some breakbeat surgery. Take the quieter ghost notes and micro-chop them. Move them slightly ahead of or behind the grid. Shorten them. Duplicate them into tiny rolls if needed. These little edits make the break feel alive without overfilling the space. You can also reverse a slice. Pick a snare tail or percussion hit, duplicate it, reverse it, and place it just before the downbeat. That reverse lead-in is a classic way to build tension into the response. It's simple, but it works every time. Another great trick is pitch variation. in simpler or drum rack. Nudge one or two slices slightly up or down. A kick pitched down a bit can feel heavier. A reverse hit pitched lower can feel darker. Even tiny changes like that can make the whole phrase feel more designed. And if you have a fill fragment you like, stretch it. Warp it slightly, repeat it in 1/16 or 1/32 notes, and let it land on a strong downbeat. That accelerating feel is pure jungle energy. It gives the loop momentum without needing a huge number of notes. Now let's process the drums. On the drum bus or group, start with EQ8. High pass the very low rumble around 25 to 35 Hz. If the loop feels muddy, cut a little around 200 to 400 Hz. If the break needs more bite, add a gentle presence boost somewhere in the 3 to 6 kHz area. Don't overdo it. The idea is clarity and punch. Then add drum bus for some controlled aggression. A little drive, a little crunch, maybe a touch of boom if the low end needs it. Follow that with saturator and use soft clip if you want more density. Blue compressor can pull the loop together nicely, but keep it light. We want glue, not squashing. And if you want a little more raw texture, a tiny bit of redux can add grit. Just be careful, because a little goes a long way. The low end should stay focused. Keep the kick and sub clean. Dirty drums are great, but your foundation still needs to hit hard and stay controlled. On the bass track, shape it so it doesn't fight the break. Use EQ8 to clean up unnecessary harshness, maybe around 2 to 5 kHz if needed. Add saturator for harmonic density. Use auto filter for movement if you want the bass to open up and close down across the phrase. Utility is great for keeping the low end mono. If the bass is masking the kick, use sidechain compression, either from the kick or from the drum bus, depending on what the groove needs. Now automate movement. This is where the riff starts feeling like a record and not just a loop. Automate filter cutoff, reverb sends, delay throws, even transpose if you want a lift. For example, at the end of the call, you could open the filter slightly, throw in a short delay, and add a reverse hit. Then when the response starts, pull the filter closed and hit the bass dry and hard. That contrast makes the answer feel massive. If you want to push the arrangement further, think in 4-bar blocks. In bars 1 to 4, maybe you tease the groove with filtered break fragments and no full bass. In bars 5 to 8, bring in the full call and response. In bars 9 to 12, swap one bass note or add a fill. In bars 13 to 16, open things up with more hats, reverse hits, and maybe a small stop before the next section. Every 4 bars, change one thing. Just one. That's enough to keep the listener locked in. A few common mistakes to watch out for here. First, don't use too many slices just because you can. A dense chop can lose all its phrasing if everything is firing at once. Let space do some of the work. Second, don't put the bass response right on top of the busiest drum moment. Offset it. Give it room. Third, pay attention to transient consistency. If some slices are way louder than others, the groove can fall apart. Use velocity, clip gain, or light compression to even things out. And fourth, don't make the call and response feel identical. One should be percussive, the other tonal. One dry, the other maybe a little wider or more spacious. If you want a darker, heavier sound, lean into negative space. Leave a bar half empty before a bigger hit. Add a clean sub under the response if the bass lives in the mids. Distort the mid layer, not the sub. Use small filter moves for tension. And once the riff works, resample it. Seriously, commit early, bounce it down, and start editing audio. That's often where the best micro-edits appear. Here's a strong practice exercise. Build a 4-bar loop with a sliced breakbeat call, a bass response, one reverse hit, and one transition fill. Keep the call to just a handful of slices. Let the bass answer in bar 3 with 2 or 3 short notes. Add a fill in bar 4. Process the break with drum bus and EQ8. Add a bit of saturator to the bass, and then bounce the result. Listen for clarity, tension, contrast, and movement. If you want to level it up, make 3 versions of the same idea. One sparse, one balanced, one aggressive. Keep the tempo and root note the same, but change the phrasing, density, and processing. Then compare them. Which one feels the most talkative? Which one has the clearest handoff between drums and bass? That's the version you want to keep developing. So the big takeaway is this. Don't think loop, think dialogue. The break asks the question, the bass answers, and the groove keeps moving forward. That's the magic of call and response in drum and bass. And once you get that framework locked in, you can build all kinds of variations from it. Nice work. Next step, take this exact framework and build your own 2-bar riff in Ableton Live 12, then resample it and see what new version it suggests back to you.